Well, Biden says he needs more authority on the border, but he actually has all the authority he needs. He just doesn't want to do anything, and he wants to get more funding for Ukraine, obviously. Welcome to the Dana Show. It's not Dana. Dana's off today. But it's me, Rich Zeoli, from Dana's affiliate, WPHT, in Philadelphia. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. So, look, you know, first things first with regards to the border situation, because just a few moments ago, I heard Biden on the White House lawn saying he doesn't have any power. He needs more power. He needs Congress to give him more power. When he got in there, day one, I mean, he did a couple of things very early on that were just so destructive to America. Killing the Keystone XL pipeline was one great example of that. Keystone XL pipeline, energy independence, dead on arrival. Trump had put into place, as you know, a national emergency proclamation for the border. And Biden got rid of that. Trump put in a policy of remain in Mexico. And Biden got rid of that. Trump put in a policy that would end catch and release. And Biden got rid of that, too. So all these things that Biden did, he did by executive authority. Just like Trump put them in place with executive authority, Biden took away those things with executive authority. And now he's telling the lie being that he doesn't have any power to do anything about the border. It's a scam. It's a lie. And the other problem with it, of course, is that unfortunately, there are too many Republicans who are not going to push back on this. Biden doesn't want to do anything about the border, but he wants the situation of open borders to continue because it's what his party wants, and he wants to blame somebody. So he wants to be able to blame the Republicans and say, well, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. So therefore, if you don't turn around and do something on the border, we're going to keep blaming you. That's not going to sell. The American people are not going to, they're not going to believe that. Not for a second. Come on, please. But the one thing I will tell you, though, is that if this situation, the border between Texas and the United States of America does continue and Biden calls up the or federalizes the National Guard or in any way, shape or form provokes any kind of violent standoff with Texas, he's done. I mean, he's done as president. And I think they know as much, which is why the Border Patrol is not trying to go. Remember, this is Texas state land we're talking about, private property we're talking about. It's not federal land. I mean, the feds can take down barbed wire on their own land if they want to, although I think it's stupid of them to do so, but they can do that. But this is the question of whether or not the state of Texas has to let the feds onto their land to take down the razor wire. And the legal answer to that is unclear. And my opinion is, and I'm not an attorney, but my opinion is no, it's Texas property. The feds don't have a right to go on there. Private property, it's the same thing. It's your private property. The feds don't have a right to go on there. But unfortunately, we live in a day and age now where the federal government has found a way to encroach on every aspect of life under the guise of national security. They did this under Obama, if you remember, with the WOTUS Act, the Waters of the United States, where they found a way to regulate any water in your backyard, basically. I mean, anything bigger than a puddle. They found a way to come on your private property. Ranchers, farmers know this all too well, and regulate that. Now, ultimately, it was struck down. But that's their mentality. Their mindset is, we can go anywhere and do anything. We're the federal government. You can't stop us. Private property rights don't exist. You don't have to. We don't have to worry about state rights. We can do anything we want. We're the feds. And of course, that's the mindset of this administration, no question about it. But the issue here is very important to note regarding this question of federalism. And boy, looking back now, you got to think the anti-federalists, they were onto something. The anti-federalists, of course, are the people that said, you're giving the federal government way too much power here. All right. You, the states, and the creation of this Constitution, you are giving the federal government way too much power, and you're going to come to regret it one day. And I think in hindsight, the anti-federalists nailed it. But anyway, a coalition now of 26 Republican attorneys general and two Arizona state lawmakers are backing Texas and the right to defend against invasion. And they're citing the United States Constitution, Section 10 of Article Number 1. The border battle came to a head last week, obviously, after the Supreme Court issued a temporary order allowing Border Patrol agents to cut the concertina wire barriers that Texas installed along the Rio Grande to deter illegal immigration. While the federal government's case against Texas remains ongoing, the state's governor, Greg Abbott, as you know, declared an invasion under Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, which gives each state the authority to defend itself if actually invaded or in such imminent danger. In a letter yesterday, the 28 Republican attorneys general told President Joe Biden and the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who is probably going to get impeached, as he should, because he's useless, that all 50 states have an independent duty to defend against invasion if the executive branch is not enforcing immigration law. Now, of course, the question is, what constitutes an invasion? Well, considering that this is a government that says an insurrection is possible without anybody actually having any weapons, I think you can make the same argument. Well, an invasion doesn't have to be an armed invasion. It doesn't say an armed invasion. An invasion could just be people who don't belong here coming here. That can constitute as an invasion because we don't know who they are. We know some of them are on the terror watch list, but the question of what constitutes an invasion. My definition of invasion is if people who do not have the lawful authority to enter the United States of America, enter the United States of America, whether they're carrying rocket launchers, grenade launchers, or just backpacks, it's irrelevant. It's an invasion of the United States of America. Because you can do a lot of dastardly things without weapons. You can do a whole lot of things. I mean, if you're a good tech guy in this day and age, you can do a computer, you can take down our all kinds of our power grid. I mean, no stopping you. So I don't think it's the question of it has to be an armed invasion. You don't necessarily need arms to overthrow a country. I mean, that's the argument that the left uses when they talk about January 6th, right? I mean, nobody there had weapons, but they said that's irrelevant because you can have an insurrection, you can overthrow the government without weapons. So then I would argue you can invade the country without weapons. So yeah, I think based on the Democrats' own precedent here, what's happening at the border counts as an invasion. The letter, led by Attorneys General Brenna Byrd of Iowa and Sean Reyes of Utah, also states that Texas's refusal to remove the wire and the state's additional construction of razor wire do not violate or defy the Supreme Court's order. That is correct. As lawyers yourselves, you must know that reports that Texas is ignoring or defying the Supreme Court are wrong, either misunderstanding or deliberately misstating the law. Correct. Texas is not defined. I got into an argument with some moron on Twitter about this. I don't know why I do this. But by the way, if you want to follow along, I'm at Rich Zeoli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I. Feel free. Would love to have you. But I don't know why I waste my time. But this one guy's going on and on about how Texas is defying the United States Supreme Court. I said, how? How are they defying it? The Supreme Court didn't order Texas to remove the razor wire. The Supreme Court didn't tell Texas you can't put any new razor wire up. So Texas can do whatever it wants to do. And the question of whether or not it's blocking federal access to agents on Texas state land is an unsettled question. That's literally what's at the heart of the court case. If Border Patrol goes in and it takes down razor wire, Texas is going to put it right back up. Now, there's an issue right now are these state parks that the feds want entry into. And ultimately, they're probably going to be able to get the entry into it until it's decided because there'll be a judge who will say that, you know, they have the right to enter for national security purposes or blah, 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 blah. Now, this question of federalism, state land versus the feds' right to enter that state land and take action is one that has to be settled. No question about it. In my opinion, Texas is absolutely in the right here. But again, if the feds do come on state land or private property, which in my opinion, they have no right to do. But if they do and they take the razor wire down, Texas can put up even more. And they're not doing anything to defy the United States Supreme Court. Quote, the Supreme Court's order did not tell Texas that it could or could not do anything. Texas should be applauded for continuing to try to protect the border despite the federal government now again being able to try to destroy the barriers that Texas builds. In the past week, Texas officials doubled down on its commitment to secure the border by installing new wire and anti-climb fences along Shelby Park. Earlier this month, the Texas Military Department assumed control of the park owned by the city of Eagle Pass to prevent both illegal immigrants and Border Patrol from entering the area. The correspondent cites the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia's dissent in the 2012 Arizona v. United States ruling, which concluded that the federal government has the sole authority to implement immigration law. Under the decision, states cannot enforce immigration policies that are preempted by federal law. Scalia dissented from the majority opinion, writing that states have a sovereign interest in protecting their borders. Well, they do. I mean, I just came here. So I'm in Philadelphia, where I broadcast from, at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You can listen on the Odyssey app. Dana, of course, is on our station. And but I live in South Jersey. So I had to cross a border today, a state border. And I had to pay $5 to do so. And there was a barrier in my way. And the barrier stayed down until my $5 was handed over. You know what I'm talking about. If you ever crossed the state and had to pay a toll, you know exactly what I mean. Those states have barriers against each other all the time. They're just typically monetary. But they have their sovereign borders typically done by, you want to come in, you got to pay a VIG. You know, you got to pay a VIG under the guise of a toll. But really, it's the price of entry. I mean, you could swim across, I guess, if you wanted to. But there was one free bridge that separated New Jersey from Pennsylvania, and it didn't have a toll forever. And of course, as soon as the feds had their chance to give money to the state immediately then put in tolls. And they use various authorities and agencies to do these things, you know, whatever the little micro government is that they create to take more money from our pockets. But the point is, they have these barriers, and nobody's disputing the fact that the state of Pennsylvania has a right to keep somebody out unless they hand over their $5. But when it comes to barbed wire in Texas, then the federal government says you can't put that up because it's mean, hurts people. They might get a scratch, and the scratch may get infected. And you know, if you don't treat one of those scratches promptly with Neosporin or something like that, you could get a bad infection. So you know, no way are we putting razor wire up. But then Texas says, well, we're going to anyway. And the question then becomes, if does Texas have a right to secure its own border? And yes, it does, because Section 10 of Article 1 of the First Amendment is very, very clear on that point. After Governor Abbott pledged the state would defend and protect itself from a record surge of illegal immigrants last week, 25 other Republican governors signed a letter vowing to stand in solidarity with Texas. And good for them. I'm glad they're doing so. But this notion that Texas is somehow going rogue here and ignoring the Supreme Court is an absolute lie. But also is a lie the notion that Biden doesn't have the power he needs. Biden could right now declare a state of emergency exists at the border, a national security emergency. He could deploy the military. There'd be no posse comitatus issues with that. You're not using the military for domestic purposes. They'd be securing the foreign border. He could do that today if he wanted to. He could today sign an executive order ending catch and release. He could sign an executive order that puts back in place Remain in Mexico. There are countries in Europe right now that are making asylum seekers wait in places like Rwanda. Biden could do those things if he wanted to. He just doesn't. It's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Black Rifle Coffee is a veteran-owned coffee company. A great coffee company, and they are all about serving and helping the veteran community. They employ active duty and retired vets as well, but they also have just the best coffee that is out there. I mean, nobody does it better. They have amazing roasts, and you can join the coffee club. This is the best way to get your coffee. Join the coffee club. Choose your roast, the frequency of shipment, and have it sent to your porch with free shipping. And you never have to run out of coffee. They also have all kinds of coffee gear. So they got grinders and they got mugs and, you know, everything. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. And when you do, you'll get 30% off of your first month using code Dana. You won't get that anywhere else. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana, code Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Yeah, so Texas is not defying the Supreme Court. And especially when it comes to private property rights, the federal government has no right to be on your land, period. But this will be continued, no question about it. In the meantime, here on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana, we got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was thinking about this whole stupid Taylor Swift, Jason Kelce nonsense, Travis Kelce nonsense. Jason's my guy. He's the Eagle. And he'd be a great VP choice. But Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, it's just annoying. But I will tell you, though, from a ratings perspective, it seems to have worked. They had the highest ratings the other night, which is why, you know, there's this conspiracy theory that the NFL wants the Chiefs to win. And then the other theory is that they want the Chiefs to win so that Taylor Swift will be even more popular when she endorses Joe Biden. I will just tell you that I think people who are guys are sick and tired of the cameras showing Taylor Swift at football games. That's basically my opinion on the conversation. Speaking of the conversation, there's an actual story over there, and this is a real headline. Why are so many robots white? Problems of racial and gender bias in artificial intelligence algorithms and the data used to train large language models like ChatGPT. And now the question is, what's up with all these white robots? Why are they white? Why are they not more diverse? And I want to know, how come robots are only attracted to other robots? How come robots can't, you know, whatever robot's attracted to a human? And just saying. So we'll get in, you know, there'll have to be some sort of diversity, equity, and inclusion laws for robots very soon. The world's highest Ferris wheel is a 600-foot attraction being built in South Korea. Will dwarf the London Eye and carry 1,400 people at once. No, thank you. I will not go on that because Ferris wheel stop, and then you're at the top. And then the question is this thing going to get going again? I have a hard enough time doing that at the Jersey Shore, let alone doing something that high. Powered apps might be good for our health. It's true. I've always known this. The BBC has a story about this, but power naps, because in Japan, the workers there indulge in a lunchtime sleep known as an afternoon nap, and many tech giants have nap pods in their offices. It's all the rage. I'm a big fan of napping. I'm a big fan. I think it resets your clock. I think you're good to go. And I think we should embrace napping more as a society. I really do. Of course, the best way that you can take a nap if you can't fall asleep is to listen to NPR. Little pro tip for you right there. And finally, the city that has the worst traffic in the United States is not Los Angeles. It's not Los Angeles. It's actually New York, but I would have guessed it was going to be Hawaii, Honolulu. But New York City is number one on the list, and the reason why is because they have made it so hard for cars to get through the city because of all the bike lanes, because they hate cars. All right, we got a lot more to talk about in the Dana Show, the latest with Iran, what will Biden do? More on the border. Don't go away.
If something, heaven forbid, goes sideways, if an emergency hits, the last thing that you want to have to worry about is where your meal is going to come from. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. So when you type Dana, when you go to wisefoods.com and you type Dana in that search bar, that takes you to a page where you get access to these exclusive deals from Wise Foods. Like, for instance, their buy one, get one free discount on their 72-hour food kit. It includes two boxes. You got 12 pouches of premium survival food, 11,120 total calories in each kit, freeze-dried, dehydrated, high-quality U.S. ingredients, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. But they also have their heirloom seed vault. Time to start. Never too late to start thinking about how you're going to garden and get it all set up next year. As 39 variety of seeds and their non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. And each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dane in the search bar for exclusive deals like that buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. Type Dana in the search bar.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, and the NSA has your internet browsing history, by the way. They purchased it. They should not be able to do this, but they did. So if you're wondering, the NSA has purchased your internet browsing data without a warrant. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's great to be in for my friend Dana. Hope her voice gets better soon. She should be back very soon. But it's in the meantime, I do the afternoon drive host. I am the afternoon drive host on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD in Philadelphia, one of Dana's lovely affiliates. You can follow me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Yes, the National Security Agency purchased Americans' internet browsing data without warrants, according to disclose.tv. They do this without a warrant. The FBI does the same thing, by the way. It's the same nonsense. What they want to control everything, and they want to have all the data on you. But, you know, that whole pesky Fourth Amendment, Constitution, get a warrant thing, paperwork, you know what I mean? Unless you're Jeffrey Epstein, of course, in which case then they don't bother getting a warrant. They just don't bother doing anything until the evidence disappears. Well, that's what happened. They were in his townhouse in New York, you know, the FBI was. And they had a warrant to search the place, and they opened up his safe, and they saw all this evidence in there, CDs and DVDs and pictures of kids and everything like that. But they said, well, we don't have a warrant to take any of it. So they just left. And 4 days later, they finally got a warrant and they went in there. And of course, by then it was all gone. Other than that, the government hates dealing with the process of getting warrants. So it bypasses those requirements by doing things like this. Everybody's internet history is for sale. I mean, everything you do on the web, even if you try to use a site like DuckDuckGo or something like that, which is great. I mean, it goes a long way. But it's still difficult because even your internet provider will sell your data. Everybody, you're for sale. You're the product. You know, whenever you use these different sites, you are the product and your data is what they're looking for. So if the government wants to know what you're doing, typically they'd have to go to a judge and present evidence of a crime of some sort and ask a judge for a warrant to be able to get your internet history, your browsing data. But instead, they could just buy it like everybody else. Now, obviously, if a private third-party company, like a company selling jeans, buys my internet data history because they want to start putting ads in my feed about jeans, whatever, right? You know, that's one thing. But I think the spirit of the Constitution is pretty clear that if the government does that, the government has to get a warrant. You're not a private entity. You're not looking to make a profit here. You're looking to potentially now destroy my life. So in that sense, the bar has to be a little bit higher for the federal government. And the National Security Agency has been accused of buying Americans' internet browsing information without warrants, according to Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. In a letter to Wyden, NSA Director Paul Nakasone provided newly unclassified documents revealing that the agency buys Americans' data, including information about the websites they visit and the apps they use. Wyden is a privacy and internet freedom advocate who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, called on U.S. intelligence officials to end the unlawful use of Americans' personal data without their knowledge and consent. He said, quote, the U.S. government should not be funding and legitimizing a shady industry whose flagrant violations of Americans' privacy are not just unethical, but illegal. The senator had blocked the appointment of incoming NSA Director Timothy Howe until the agency responded to his questions about collecting Americans' internet and location data. Wyden said in a news release that he pushed for nearly 3 years to publicly release information showing the NSA is purchasing Americans' internet records. Now, I know what you might be thinking. You might be thinking, yeah, Rich, but if you've done nothing wrong, what are you worried about? Well, we know now that you've done something wrong. If you're a Trump voter, for example, if you are MAGA, if you have a Betsy Ross flag, if you shop at Cabela's, if you've ever bought a gun, if you've ever done it, or bullets, or any of these things, you might be a domestic violent extremist. If you're a mom at a school board meeting, if you go to church and pray in Latin, you might be a domestic violent extremist. So for the country's own good, well, the federal government should know what you're doing online, because you might start an insurrection. You know, one moment you're yelling about your kid's curriculum at school, the next day you're leading an overthrow of the United States of America. You understand this, right? On Tuesday you're buying a Cabela's hat, but on Wednesday you're overthrowing the government. So the government obviously needs to know what you're doing online, because you have done something wrong. You've done lots of things wrong. You happen to be a patriot. And that's just enough. And there are people right now sitting in the Department of Justice who literally think that way. They literally think we can profile. I remember a time when racial profiling was all the rage. Stopping it, ending it was. I remember the time when ending racial profiling was all the rage. Now, how dare you profile people based on their race, their ethnicity, anything like that? And for example, in New Jersey, it was a big deal because the New Jersey Turnpike, people travel up and down the turnpike from various different states, and a lot of times they're running drugs or they're stealing cars. Or I mean, there's a big criminal racket right now going on with auto theft. Like, I know towns in South New Jersey, for example, where they have these car theft rings, and they'll come in at night and they'll look for the cars that are not locked, and they'll jump right on the highway and then take them up to the ports of Newark, and then they're gone, you know, headed for Africa or Asia, wherever they go. And so when the whole racial profiling backlash happened, the state police said, well, we're not profiling people based on race. We're profiling people on these other factors. That was the argument. And ultimately, there were all these reforms that were implemented and everything else. But we're back to now profiling, but now it's political profiling, which in some ways is also racial profiling, too, because a lot of the people tend to be white who the government's targeting here. But there was that story where, you know, the FBI was making credit card companies turn over to them all kinds of purchase histories that you might have. If you bought guns and if you bought sporting goods. I mean, for example, if you buy zip ties, you may be trying to tie up cable wire, or you may be looking to overthrow the government. It's hard to say. Who can say? So better to just spy on you for the heck of it. Now, you may not have been inside the Capitol building on January the 6th, or maybe you were, maybe you used the restroom. Maybe you took a couple pictures or something like that. Or maybe you were just in the District of Columbia. Or maybe you were in the region. Or maybe you knew somebody who was there that day. Well, we should probably spy on you because you never know. You might be plotting another insurrection. So let's get all your browsing history, your data history. Let's see where you're buying things. Let's see your shopping history. Let's profile. Let's put it all together in a little list, so that we can protect America from potential domestic violent extremism, a.k.a. MAGA. There's a thing in economics, of course, that you know. Supply and demand. If there is a big demand for something, supply tends to vanish eventually because there's such an overwhelming demand for it. But what happens when you have such a demand and there's just no supply? Well, demand typically increases, right? I remember when I was a kid, when the Luke Skywalker Jedi Knight action figure came out. It was the hottest Christmas gift. My dad waited online at Toys R Us, back when they had Toys R Us, for hours to be able to get that for me for Christmas. For hours. And eventually they all sold out, so people wanted them even more. Well, it's kind of the same thing in the Department of Justice. You have this order that you need to find domestic violent extremists. There's a huge demand for it. The supply is just not there. So what do you have to do? I mean, you got to make your superiors happy. And they keep saying, we want to see, where are the domestic violent extremists? Where are they? You turn around and go, sir, there's no domestic violent extremists. Well, find them. And that's when they do things such as profile extreme Catholics, moms at school board meetings, people that buy Cabela's hats, people that buy guns, people that buy bullets, people. And then they create profiles and lists, and then they say these people could be. And they can justify the ever expansion of the surveillance state, the national security state. And they can further justify the absolute eradication of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. The senator continued. He said, such records can identify Americans who are seeking help from a suicide hotline or a hotline for survivors of sexual assault or domestic abuse. The government can know everything about you. They can know your medical history. I mean, sure, maybe you were just online looking for those little blue pills, but maybe it was something else you were looking for. Maybe some sort of a psychotropic drug. Maybe you were looking for ketamine. Or microdosing of mushrooms or something like that. The government can know all those things about you. And even though it has no right to know those things, if it thinks you might be breaking a law of some kind, well, then what stops them from coming after you? Nothing. I've said for years, you know, if the government wants to get you, the government wants to get you. And that's 100% true. But if the government wants to intimidate you, that's an easy lift for the government. I mean, that's a no-brainer. They can see your social media history. They can know what you're buying. They can see what you're browsing. They can do all those things and find different ways to intimidate you into silence and complicity. That's the ultimate goal of this. Now, the NSA guy did confirm the purchases. He said that the data collected may include information associated with electronic devices being used outside and in certain cases inside the United States. The NSA attempted to defend the purchases by arguing that the information has significant value for national security and cybersecurity missions and is used sparingly at all stages. NSA takes steps to minimize the collection of U.S. person information to include application of technical filters. Obtaining these records of Americans' browsing data violates United States Federal Trade Commission standards. An FTC order earlier this month prohibited Virginia-based data broker OutLogic, formerly known as Xmode Social, from selling sensitive location data that helps track a person's location. Until recently, Senator Wyden said, the data broker industry and the intelligence community's purchase of data from these shady companies has existed in a legal gray area, which was in large part due to the secrecy surrounding the practice. App developers and advertising companies did not meaningfully disclose to users their sale and sharing of personal data with data brokers, nor seek to obtain informed consent. You know, when you sign on to something, whatever it is, and you agree to the practices, and nobody reads that stuff, well, a lot of times that stuff's in there, in the fine print. In my opinion, when it comes to them selling your data to some third party, all right, you kind of understand that that's going to happen. But I think if Amazon is going to give my data to the feds, obviously we know they have to comply with subpoenas. We understand that. Nobody's questioning that. But if they're going to sell my data to the feds, that should be right at the top in its own kind of separate form you got to check. And it should be very, very obvious. And it should also be the kind of thing where you have to opt in. Hey, check this box if you're okay with us selling your data to the government. Hey, check this box if you're cool with us giving your data to the government, whether it's the FBI or the NSA, without a warrant. And who would check that box? Nobody would check that box. No one in their right mind would do that. Of course, a lot of people who are not in their right mind would do that, and they're on the left, obviously. But people who are not crazy would say no. If there's a reason why the government needs my data, if they believe I've committed a crime, not that I'm going to commit a crime, not that there's a future crimes bureau like in that movie with Tom Cruise, but if they think I've committed a crime or I'm going to do something very imminent and dangerous, well, then there's a process where they get a warrant and they're able to get the data. It's not that complicated. It really is not that complicated. But isn't it something, though, the FBI does the same thing? And what they do is they do it, and they follow a very basic tenet of my life that I like to use, which is it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. If you know the answer is going to be no, well, then you don't ask for permission. But you can ask for forgiveness. Not that the government ever actually asks us to forgive it. They don't have to. They're not worried about that. Nobody gets in trouble for doing any of this stuff. But they certainly don't ask. They just do it. And then they get slapped on the wrist by some senator down the road years later, and they go, oops, sorry, we were really being good with it, we promise. Right. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Coming up, what are we going to do about the situation in Iran? And how much worse will the border crisis get? Don't go away.
Our friends over at Patriot Mobile. I saw those guys. I saw Patriot Mobile the other day. We walked behind them. We were on the floor walking to a different booth visit. And just started running them down. Like, you know what phone service those communists like? I heard it was that Patriot Mobile. Now, they don't like the word communist. And you say communist around the guys who founded Patriot Mobile, and they are immediately like, where can we go and punch? Like, they turned around immediately. So we got their attention. I know the folks at Patriot Mobile are super funny, but they provide great, great cell phone service. And they're just some of the nicest people out there. And I know where they live. But no, they're super fun people. And this is, if you don't want your dollars, your hard-earned money, like going towards I don't know, gun control or DEI or bad candidates or whatever, you need to be switching to Patriot Mobile. Because first off, not only are you going to get dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks all across the country, you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. When you switch, you are working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it so easy to switch. And you're going to save money. They got plans tailor-made for you. Free activation using code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
As the situation at the border continues to get more tense and Biden says he doesn't have the authority to do anything, and we know that he absolutely does, you got to ask yourself, why are we even having this conversation? And the reason we're having this conversation is because there are a lot of Republicans who want to give money to Ukraine. Mitch McConnell is a great example of this. He considers it to be the highest priority of the United States Senate. So as long as they can tie that to the border, there's many people in the swamp right now who are absolutely going to back the president when he comes out there and says, I can't do anything. Nothing I can do. I need you to pass this bill. And the funny part about it is, so Trump's apparently out there telling people they should kill the bill, and they should kill the bill. And I've been saying this forever. You should not be combining Ukraine aid to Israel, humanitarian aid to Gaza, and putting that in air quotes, and border security in one package. We got to stop with the packages, right? Enough with the packages already. This is a package nobody wants to receive. And then the other issue, the other problem with this bill is that this bill is not about border security. This bill is about reforming the immigration asylum system. It's not about border security. Really, the only thing in it, it gives the president power that he doesn't need Congress to give him to deal with it. Because he has the ability as president to enforce the nation's immigration laws. He already has that power that Congress gave him. He doesn't need new powers. He doesn't need double secret probation powers. He already has the power. Congress empowered the president to enforce the nation's immigration laws. And the Constitution does as well, since the executive has to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. And Congress has passed a number of immigration laws, including the fact that you just can't enter the United States illegally. If you want to claim asylum, you have to go through a United States port of entry. And then the whole process, how that all gets worked out. Well, that's one thing, but that's separate from what we're talking about right now, which is actually border security. But I think this issue is going to resonate big time in the 2024 election. I was talking to some local political people today in Pennsylvania. And, you know, Pennsylvania is a state you got to win if you want the White House. And they were saying the same thing. They are hearing about immigration as a massive, massive issue, even in a state like Pennsylvania. It is a big deal. That's why Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat, has come out and said, this is crazy. We have to secure our border. Because even he knows this does not play. This does not play well with people, with nobody. Doesn't play well with Hispanics either. That's why the Latino community is not supporting Joe Biden in the numbers that they were in 2020. All right, we got a lot to talk about. It is the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zioli, in for Dana. Coming up, let's talk about Iran as well. Don't go away.
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life, and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety.
Oh, you know that voice, don't you? That squad member and lunatic Cori Bush, who's now under investigation for the private security. Welcome back to the Dana Show. Dana is off today. It's me, Rich Zioli, from Dana's affiliate, WPHD, in Philadelphia. Great to be with you this afternoon. Hoping Dana's voice comes back very, very soon. So squad member and lunatic Cori Bush, I mean, she is one of the greats, is she not? Literally in that clip, 30 seconds. She told you why the police need to be defunded, why she deserves private security, and why you don't deserve to have any security. In 30 seconds, she managed to check all the boxes. I'm better than you. I'm more important than you. Therefore, I deserve protection. The police need to be defunded. And while we're at it, you shouldn't have the right to protect yourself. But what I'm doing something so important. I'm a member of Congress. I'm a big deal. So I get to do those things. And even though I'm protected by the Capitol Police, I'm going to defund the police. And I'm going to have my own private security force. But I'm not going to let you do that, obviously. And Cori Bush, wow. Well, now she is reportedly the subject of a criminal probe being run by the Federal Department of Justice related to an alleged misuse of funds for security services. First reported by Punchbowl News, based on six sources familiar with the investigation, this is from townhall.com, the House Sergeant at Arms reportedly confirmed its cooperation with the Biden Department of Justice in its probe. Quote, the House announced Monday that the Sergeant at Arms had been subpoenaed and was cooperating with the Justice Department. Punchbowl News scooped that the Justice Department was seeking spending records as part of a probe of a House Democrat. The spending records they were seeking were in relation to the alleged misspending of security money. As Town Hall has previously reported, Representative Bush has quite a unique relationship, literally, with her personal bodyguards. Guy Benson actually summarized the situation well in a piece on another security snafu featuring Cori Bush last year. Quote, no, it's not the bodyguard Congresswoman Bush just recently married, which is a real thing that happened. Yes, the queen of defund the police is personally protected by a phalanx of armed security guards, one of whom she fell in love with. I'd say mazel tov, but who knows how she and some of her fellow squadsters might feel about that particular phrase. The other bodyguard I'm referring to is a man who is rather special, it seems. Town Hall's friends over at the Washington Free Beacon dug up claims from one of Bush's security guards that he can summon tornadoes at will, cause earthquakes with his hate, and conduct blood rituals to bring ruin upon his enemies. He is an intergalactic master of psychic self-defense born 109 trillion years ago. By the way, what do you get somebody for their 109th trillionth birthday? Is it paper or is it wood? I forget, and I've been trying to figure that out for quite some time now. I'll probably just go with bourbon. Hey, you're 109 trillion years old. You probably could use a bottle of bourbon. A good bottle of bourbon, obviously. Those are quite the qualifications, which could in some zany world explain why he was Bush's highest paid private security guard. Oh, stop. Like, you wouldn't love to have somebody who could summon an earthquake, cause tornadoes at will? Come on, stop it. Of course you would. Don't act like you would not want somebody who can do a blood ritual to bring ruin upon his enemies. I want that guy. I'd hire him right now. I have plenty of enemies. And if I knew that it would just take a simple blood ritual to bring ruin upon them, sign me up. And then, of course, you get the added benefit of him being an intergalactic master of psychic self-defense born 109 trillion years ago. With age comes wisdom. It's a lot of wisdom. Based on public records and online accounts, the Free Beacon reported that this character had earned over $137,000 providing security services for Cori Bush from 2020 through the spring of 2023. In addition, the Free Beacon confirmed that Davis is in fact a St. Louis, Missouri spiritual guru known as Aha Sen Pianki, who teaches classes on how to read minds, summon mythical beings, and maintain urban gardens to avoid having to buy food from the Jews. That's right. Yes, that's all true. All of those things. And anyway, in addition to that, you got to wonder how 109 trillion-year-old could be adept at personal security? Because that would also be the question that I have, is wouldn't, after 109 trillion years, taking a toll on your joints, knees? Yeah, then you got to tackle somebody. I'm just saying. And you're having a tough day because you're 109 trillion years old. I get it. I get it. So all those other qualifications, the blood rituals and the, you know, the summoning earthquakes and whatnot, that's all helpful. But at the end of the day, if I need you to carry me like Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard, and you're 109 trillion years old. Are you going to be able to do it? Are you going to be able to lift me up, kick people the way Kevin Costner did at the end of that movie, and get me out of there? Because if not, this conversation's over, and I'm hiring somebody else. Blood rituals be damned. So anyway, it's a great example of how people like Cori Bush are the ultimate hypocrites in the world, and how they love using money that belongs to the taxpayers for their own personal benefit in every way, shape, and form. Not too different from Fawnie Willis in Georgia, the Fulton County District Attorney, who of course now has been accused of having relations with a man she brought in to lead the prosecution against former President Donald Trump. Now, when I say accused, I mean there are receipts, credit card receipts, lots of them, taking fancy cruises, staying at beautiful hotels in Napa Valley, as if there's any other kind, and enjoying her time with the man that she brought on to help with the prosecution, even though that guy has no experience as a prosecutor. He dealt with municipal traffic tickets, but he got paid close to $700,000 from Fulton County, Georgia. And then he and Fawnie Willis were enjoying their time together on all these luxurious trips. And his ex-wife, because hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, am I right? The soon-to-be ex-wife is turning around saying, wait a second, I was only getting $700 every 2 weeks from you. I'm destitute here. You're making all this cash? I want in. And now, in the course of that process, a judge is going to have to figure out whether or not the guy at the center of all this was in fact having an affair, an extramarital affair. Because if he was, that's not the issue. The issue is, was he getting money through that extramarital affair? And then was he disclosing that money through the course of the divorce with his estranged wife, who's eligible for some of that money? Now, in Georgia, the House has voted to revive a prosecutor oversight panel. And that's a good thing. And they need to have oversight over this prosecutor because, obviously, this is about as corrupt as you get. Fawnie Willis is the very definition of corruption here. But along party lines, the Democrats said no. Though Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed legislation last year creating the Prosecuting Attorneys Qualifications Commission, it was unable to begin operating after the state Supreme Court in November refused to approve rules governing its conduct. Justices said they had grave doubts about their ability to regulate the duties of district attorneys beyond the practice of law. Monday's measure removes the requirement for Supreme Court approval. The commission will now be able to begin their real work, which is bringing accountability to those rogue prosecuting attorneys who abuse their office. The commission will be able to unilaterally proceed and have the ability to interfere and undermine an ongoing investigation against Donald J. Trump, said Democrat House Minority Whip Sam Park. You are taking action to protect former President Trump from an ongoing criminal prosecution. But senators on Friday approved a special investigative committee that Republicans say will be used to probe whether Fawnie Willis has used state money to benefit herself by employing attorney Nathan Wade as special prosecutor. Trump on Thursday joined an effort by co-defendant Michael Roman to have Willis, Wade, and their offices thrown off the case. Now, interestingly enough, under the law in Georgia, if that happens, it goes to a whole other separate commission to then find a replacement prosecutor. It's not like Fawnie Willis can just have her deputy take the case. The whole office would be disqualified if that, in fact, occurs. And then they have to get an outside prosecutor to come in. There is a situation that happened similar, not exactly like this, but a situation that called for that. And it's 2 years later, and they still haven't appointed somebody. There was another time where the commission replaced this district attorney who wound up becoming lieutenant governor, something. There's some other thing that happened. And anyway, he was prosecuting these cops for shooting a guy. And then they went in there and the new prosecutor cleared the cops of all the charges. Maybe I'm combining the two stories, but you get the point. The point is that it could be a long, drawn-out process in Georgia. It could lead to a new prosecutor coming in and saying there's really no evidence here against the former president. That's why Democrats are terrified that Fawnie Willis will be off the case. And that's why you even have people, like the ladies on The View, are very angry that Fawnie Willis and her boyfriend did all these things, because now the Georgia case will go out the window, most likely. And if that happens, it may never happen again. And that was their real golden ticket. You know, they thought they could stop Trump right there in Georgia. There's no pardon power. President can't pardon himself for a state crime. They could lock him up and throw away the key. And then, of course, the question would be, if Trump won the presidency but had to do time in Georgia state prison, who would break the president out? And I created a whole elaborate movie in my mind about that. Escape from Alcatraz was really the inspiration. But I think it would be a team of Navy SEALs that would go in to rescue the president, free him from the Georgia State Penitentiary, and then you could have a standoff between the SEALs and the Georgia corrections officials, kind of similar to the movie The Rock with Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage, you know? But we probably won't get there, unfortunately, which is a bummer, because I think this would be a great movie plot. I really do. Escape from Georgia, penal edition. Well, the penal system is what I mean by that. But the, but I don't think it's going to happen because of Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. And it is really bad news for the Democrats. I mean, it really is. It's heartbreaking for them. All because he had the temerity to take this money and then take her on cruises and was dumb enough to charge it all on his credit card. I mean, you want the points. I don't blame the guy. You want those points. Those points are very valuable. Now you can turn those into all kinds of different things. New trips. New trips or free drinks on trips. You know, free up hotel upgrades and whatnot. So you certainly don't want to give up those points by paying cash. You know what I mean? Anyway, also her name was on the airline tickets and also on the manifest for the cruise ship. So, you know, there's that. So this case is done. In Georgia. It's a real problem. But it also shows you the extent of the corruption here. It's absolutely amazing. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zioli, in for Dana. We got a lot to chat about. I got five things for you. Don't go away.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sham impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas is a baseless political stunt by extreme MAGA Republicans. Chairman Green, Representative Margaret Taylor Green, and others have pushed for and even fundraised based on this pre-planned, predetermined scapegoating of the secretary.
It's Marjorie Taylor Green, Chairman Benny Thompson. Marjorie Taylor Green. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's great to be with you this afternoon. Got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, I don't believe a word of this article either. Alzheimer's can be spread between humans. A pioneering study reveals at least five people have caught the memory-robbing illness. As scientists warn, hundreds more may be at risk. Children were given hormones and later developed early-onset dementia. Alzheimer's is caused by a toxic amyloid beta protein building up in the brain. And apparently now it can be spread. Catch it. So I would say this, at least keep away from Joe Biden until we know for sure, okay? I don't believe a word of this story. TSA uses minimum data. I don't believe this either. TSA uses minimum data to fine-tune its facial recognition system, but experts still worry. The whole facial recognition thing, you know, is going to be abused. You know that. I know that, too. A TSA official said the agency is currently in the beginning stages of integrating automated facial recognition capability as an enhancement to the credential authentication technology devices that have been deployed several years ago. They're CAT scanners. CAT scanners that use facial recognition technology by taking real-time pictures of travelers and then comparing those images against their photo IDs. What could possibly go wrong? Nothing, of course, right? France is now on the side of the farmers. That's right. French protesters and their farmers encircle Paris with tractor barricades vowing a siege over the grievances. The farmers have had it so rough around the world. And you know that the WEF and all the people, the World Economic Forum, they hate farmers because farmers help bring food. And many times the people at the WEF, when they're trying to get you to eat bugs, they don't like the fact that cows toot and cause methane, which they blame on climate change. And also because, well, just livestock in general, agriculture in general, is really bad for climate change. So these countries are now coming out with more and more regulations that are hurting farmers. and these protests are rising up around the world. Luckily now, more people of France are standing with the farmers, which is good. A monkey is on the loose after escaping from a Scottish wildlife park. Staff at the Highland Wildlife Park have urged the public not to approach the monkey. He's on the loose. He's in Scotland. He's a Japanese macaw. He found its way out of an enclosure at Highland Wildlife Park near Kingisea on Sunday morning. So if you see the monkey, if you're in the area, stay away from the monkey. Give him his space, all right? Monkey needs a little time. A Tampa Bay Times subscriber's deck was on fire. Then a newspaper carrier arrived. I think it's great that people still get the newspaper delivered. Something very nostalgic about that. Well, Pam Smith is the only person on her street who gets the paper delivered. Josh Herring took a different route that day. And it turns out that the guy who was delivering the paper saved her. Isn't that great? Great news indeed. It's the Dana Show. We got more to come. Don't go away.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the question is, what's going to happen with Iran? What will Joe Biden do? That is the question. Welcome back to the Dana Show. Great to be with you this afternoon. It's me, Rich Zioli, from Dana's affiliate in Philadelphia, WPHT, where I host the afternoon drive show. What is Joe Biden going to do about Iran? Now, there's a lot of people out there calling for a real retaliatory strike against Iran. You have a lot of people on both sides of the aisle doing this right now. And of course, Joe Biden is running for re-election. And the question is, would being a wartime president help or hurt Joe Biden? And that's a question. My personal opinion is, I think the opinion of the American people is we've had it with war. We're done with it. We've had enough. And that's my sense of it, of where the mood of the electorate is and has been for quite some time. But that doesn't mean, though, that Joe Biden's going to take that route. He may try to show that even though he's incredibly weak on the border, he's going to be really tough on Iran and do something and do a big strike of some sort. And then the question becomes, well, does Congress play a role in any of this? Will there be a debate? Will there be questions around this? Will there be anything to have this conversation? Years ago, when Biden was running for president, he warned the American people that Trump would get us into a war with Iran. He did. He said that. That's what he came out and said. Now, obviously, we didn't go to war with Iran. We didn't go to war with anybody. And that was a very nice change of pace. But with all of this happening and with people on both sides of the political aisle screaming right now that something has to be done, will Biden seize this moment to try to elevate himself as a wartime commander in chief, thinking that that will save his reelection chances? And if that happens, will it benefit him or not? Now, John Kirby yesterday lost it on a reporter in a briefing who was basically asking this question. The question of, well, is Biden asking the American people what they want to hear? I think Kirby keeps interpreting it as, is Biden factoring in the polls and what the polls have to say? But it's a legitimate question that she's asking. I mean, do the American people get a say here? Now, I'll tell you before I play the clip that obviously the American people are supposed to get a say. That's why the power to declare war is left to Congress and not the commander in chief. That's why Article 1 deals with declarations of war, not Article 2. And obviously the president has the War Powers Act. And obviously the president can act in limited capacities for short periods of time. We know that that usually means that they do whatever they want forever. But will Congress weigh in on anything here? And then if we do strike Iran or Iran-backed proxies, then what happens then? What's the next step in all this? Where does it go from here? You've got everything from Nikki Haley saying we should take out their oil to their facilities to assassinating top leadership. I mean, this could go down a very big rabbit hole. And since we are in a presidential election and Joe Biden has a 65% disapproval rating, 65% disapprove of the guy's handling of the job. And the Democrat Party does love war. I mean, I will tell you, they are the party of war, if you think about it. They really do. They love a good war. So what will he do? Now, this is John Kirby getting very annoyed at this reporter yesterday at the press briefing. Cut number 3.
Isn't it time to involve the American people? I mean, given the fact that the American people were not happy about, I mean,
I suspect the American people are not happy about attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea. I also suspect they're not happy about seeing American troops killed at a base in Jordan. The president has the authority to defend those troops and those facilities, and he'll do that.
The president is weighing all of his options. This is an election year. Is the president looking at his polling when he's weighing all of these options, is the president looking at what?
My goodness. That's a heck of a question. He's not looking. Ma'am, let me just stop you right there.
Let me finish my question.
Commander-in-Chief is not looking at polling or considering the electoral calendar when he's defending.
How they feel about the war on Gaza?
Oh, now can I answer the question? He's not looking at political calculations or the polling or the electoral calendar as he works to protect our troops ashore and our ships at sea. And any suggestion to the contrary is offensive.
Is he looking at the polling with respect to, does the American public want a broader Middle East conflict when he weighs his political decision making?
Ma'am, I've answered that question. Okay.
Ma'am, I've answered that question by not answering the question. The president has, he doesn't care what you people think about this. He's not interested in that. It's not really his priority. And certainly Congress doesn't want to deal with it either. You know that the truth is that Congress is going to treat this one like a gigantic hot potato and keep passing that around. They don't want to deal with this. No, they're hoping that Biden will take some strategic strikes against Iran. They're hoping that something will occur, but they don't want to have their hands all over it because they're unsure about the mood of the electorate right now. My personal opinion is that the electorate is very, very nervous about another prolonged war in the Middle East. That they're very nervous about this and that they think that this could escalate out of control at any moment. And obviously, we're also looking at a situation right now where we're still giving Ukraine all this money with no end in sight. How does Trump play into all this? Well, Trump obviously is a guy who's come out and said, listen, I killed Soleimani. I sent Iran a message, and Iran didn't mess with us for all these years. I don't know how long this plays out, but I do know that if this does play out for the general election and we're not in World War III, I think it helps Trump in a big way because I think people are yearning for the kind of leadership that would not lead us down the road of another big conflict. And Nikki Haley's rhetoric at this point is making people some people nervous. You know, that she's sounding a little bit like she's banging the drums of war, just a tad here. You know what I mean? Just a little bit. Well, she came out yesterday and she said, I'm not. Why would I? I'm not looking for that at all. But again, since we're in a presidential election year, you do have to wonder how tough people are going to sound. You know, the movie Wag the Dog, remember that movie? It came out years ago, and it was all about this whole situation where the president was in a big sex scandal, and they staged a war so that it could distract everybody. Well, nowadays, you don't have to stage a fake war using Hollywood actors and that sort of thing, because there's just wars, I mean, there's conflict everywhere. I mean, they could have done the same thing back then, but they wanted to fake a war, basically, to help the president's approval rating. Joe Biden is not doing well politically. That is very, very obvious. And the warnings that are coming out of this administration right now should make everybody very nervous. I mean, here's the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, just how dire the situation in the Middle East is. Cut number four.
I would argue that we've not seen a situation as dangerous as the one we're facing now across the region since at least 1973.
It is not a good time in the Middle East, basically, is what the Secretary of State is saying. Sabrina Singh, who's a Pentagon spokesperson, remember, you don't hear from the president on any of this. There's no Oval Office address. There's no coming to the podium to address the nation. That's the part I can't figure out. I mean, if you are running for re-election as president, this is the time to look presidential. This is the moment where you come to the podium. You step up at the podium. You stand up there and you say, hey, listen, Iran, back off. Back off, and you seize the moment that would give you either looking presidential behind the desk or at the podium. But the problem is Joe Biden can't read. And honestly, I mean, he can't. I mean, you see whatever's on the teleprompter, he stumbles over his words, he slurs his words, he's a terrible communicator, and he certainly can't do it unscripted anymore. He can't. There was a time he could, but not anymore. And there's no way they're going to let him go in front of the cameras and actually answer questions. No way. He'll confuse what year it is. He'll think it's his dad telling him advice on bombing Scranton. He'll have no clue. So no, he can't do that. And they're not going to let him. I mean, this is a guy, they play orchestra music to get him off the stage. Like, as if he's accepting the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. And he's speaking too long. And all of a sudden they play the music. They cut off the president of the United States from answering questions. So then the notion here that Biden is not seizing the moment is correct, because they can't let him seize them. Anyone else would be using this as an opportunity, as they're running for re-election as president, to look presidential, in whatever capacity that means, whether you're ordering retaliatory strikes or you're just standing up there and giving stern warnings. You'd be using the moment. And you notice this president does not. So we get Sabrina Singh coming out from the Pentagon. We get John Kirby every day. We got Karine Jean-Pierre completely botching what happened to those three service members who were killed in the drone strike. We get bad answers from staff members. I mean, Kirby's solid. Kirby knows what he's doing. He was an admiral. He gets it. But he's also not the president. You know, he's not the commander in chief here. He's not even the Secretary of Defense. And then there's that whole issue. I mean, the Secretary of Defense was just in the hospital, didn't tell anybody. Now he's back, and they played a couple of minutes of him yesterday at a meeting with the Secretary General of the UN, but it just is not giving people a feeling of reassurance, as if they know what they're doing, as if they have an idea, a plan. And I don't know, I mean, just some missiles flying in the air and hitting things in Iran is not going to certainly make me sleep any more comfortably at night, because I don't know where this goes, and I don't trust Joe Biden's handling of it if it escalates. At the same time, the argument that's being made by a lot of people on both sides of the aisle is, but if we do nothing, they're going to keep doing it. I get that. But I also understand the problem here, which is that we have Joe Biden as commander in chief. And if this does escalate even further, I don't know where we go here. You also have to think to yourself about from the perspective of Iran and watching the disastrous evacuation out of Afghanistan. I think that has to play on their minds too. Like, this guy will tuck and run. You know what I mean? This guy is not going to put up a fight. I don't think they ever thought that about Trump. I mean, when Trump took out Soleimani and then said, you know, he died like a dog, just totally smack-talking the guy in front of the world. There's a great bit by the comedian Shane Gillis talking about that. And he does a really good Trump impression, and he was saying that Trump goes out there and just, you know, talks smack against this Iranian general that he had killed. He's saying he died like a dog, he cried like a baby. But anyway, Trump would be seizing the moment as commander-in-chief. Trump would be at least, and you know, standing at the White House podium and taking questions. Biden cannot do that. I mean, this is a problem for the Democrats. It really is. It's a major political problem. These are the kind of moments that you want to be the incumbent president so that you can look presidential. And it's turning into a situation where he's going to look even worse than Carter looked at this point in the presidential election in 1980. He's going to look even worse. And he doesn't want to be there. But unlike Jimmy Carter, who could actually speak and explain himself, Joe Biden can't even do that. So you're literally leaving this all in the hands of the spokespeople at this point. Here's the Pentagon's Sabrina Singh, cut number 5.
Well, look, what we know is that we have been able to take capabilities off the table of these IRGC-backed groups. The capabilities that they had yesterday, they no longer have today. And so, yes, we do assess that we have been able to successfully disrupt and degrade their capabilities. By no means are we saying that we've taken everything off the map for them, but we have made it harder for them to launch attacks at our U.S. forces, whether it be in the Red Sea or in Iraq or Syria.
Thank you. Why doesn't the commander in chief say anything? I'm curious. Well, Biden did say, so I guess you can consider this speaking on the issue. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Would you consider this? This is Biden talking on Iran here. Cut 17.
Iran responsible for the death of those three Americans.
I do hold responsible in the sense that they're supplying the weapons to the people who did it. We'll have that discussion.
What? Do you hold Iran responsible? I hold them responsible in the sense that they are supplying the weapons to the people who did it. Well, that's holding them responsible. That's in a sense, there's no sense there. That's holding them responsible. They're giving the weapons. If I give you the gun and you go shoot the guy, I mean, and I know you're going to shoot the guy, I'm guilty here. So of course Biden but you notice they give him, just say that. And then we'll talk about it. You know, it's such a great feeling of calm, isn't it? Well, we're gonna have those conversations. What are you gonna do? Retaliatory strikes? We're gonna do something. When? Oh, we're gonna go talk about it. It's just the whole thing is just Fox News put together a little montage of Biden's repeated messages to Iran. And clearly this is, I guess, tough guy Biden here. This is a little montage and you're going to hear one word over and over again. So drink when you hear it. It's the word don't. Cut six.
And what's the message to Iran?
Don't.
It was very important to send a very clear message to anyone who might seek to take advantage of the conflict in Gaza to threaten our personnel here or anywhere else in the region. Don't do it.
What is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't. Don't, don't, don't. I've already delivered the message to Iran. They know I'm not to do anything.
Don't. All right? Don't. But then a reporter asked the follow-up question, which is, did don't work? did don't work? Cut two.
It's clear, obviously, that don't didn't work. Does the president have any regret over not punching back harder in any of the prior responses that he's taken to these proxy attacks on U.S. forces?
I think I would push back on the idea that we didn't push back harder.
Well, an opportunity for the commander-in-chief who's running for re-election to actually come out and look presidential, say something, anything, and he can't, because he can't speak, he can't take questions, he can barely read what's on the teleprompter. You know the Democrats are furious about that right now. Oh, they're furious because they would love to be able to show him as a tough guy, but they can't. Don't. All right, it's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zioli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, this guy needed a shirt, obviously, and so he stole one from a church thrift store. Michael DaCosta made no effort to cover his genitalia, the store clerk told sheriff's deputies. He was arrested after he allegedly stole a T-shirt from a church thrift store naked. Fox 35 Orlando, citing an arrest affidavit, reported that Michael DaCosta, 38, was arrested last Wednesday at the Wings of Faith thrift store in Ocala. They recalled to respond to a report of a naked man running around everywhere. He allegedly entered the Wings of Faith thrift store fully nude and snatched a T-shirt from the store on his way out when asked to leave. He made no effort to cover his genitalia while in the store and was acting erratic. But then, I mean, he did steal a shirt. In his defense, he did steal a shirt to cover up. It may not have been long enough, but, you know, give the guy some credit here. Come on, people. This guy in Florida was arrested for DUI after going the wrong way on Interstate 4. Florida man was arrested for driving under the influence after going the wrong way early Sunday morning. That happened to me once. I wasn't driving drunk on the wrong way, but I had a car coming at me the wrong way on a highway. That is probably one of the scariest feelings in the world, when you see a car coming head on with you on a major interstate highway. I'm telling you right now, that is, especially at night, the lights, you see them coming on, you feel like you're in some sort of a movie. It's terrifying. This Florida man demanded a trial because he says the cheesy combo snacks don't have enough cheese. He's not wrong. He's going after combos. And in the filing, he pointed to the fact that the cheddar cheese flavored version of the snacks is marketed with a picture of a large block of cheese and the label's filling made with real cheese and natural flavors. However, he also cited the ingredients list, which said the snacks are less than 2% cheese blend. So you're getting cheesed here. And that's what he said, essentially, now. Now, I don't know if this is really going to become a thing, but if there's an opportunity for lawyers to get a class action lawsuit and a large cash settlement because you've been deprived the cheese that you deserve from combos, you know there's lawyers out there salivating for the opportunity to do it. No question about it. All right, coming up on the Dana Show, we got to get into a lot of other things, including what is going to happen at the border? Does Biden really need more authority? It's the Dana Show. We're coming right back.
With executive authority, or is there more you could do?
Not all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office. Give me the border patrol. Give me the people. Give me the people, the judges. Give me the people who can stop this and make it work less.
Give me the power, Joe Biden says. Give me the power. Welcome back to the show. It is the Dana Show. Dana's off today. It's me, Rich Zioli, in for my friend Dana. Great to be with you. I am the Afternoon Drive host on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG in Philadelphia, one of Dana's proud affiliates. Biden says, give me the power. Only he has all the power he needs. He doesn't need any more power. He could end this problem tomorrow if he wanted to. So what's actually happening here? What's really going on? I think the problem is, and this is a twofold problem. I really do. You have the Democrat Party lunatics that run the asylum who believe in open borders. They don't believe that anybody who wants to come to America should be denied the ability to come to America. You should be able to come here. We have to atone for all of our past sins and we should have open borders because who are we to say, no, you can't come? That's number one. Number two, though, is that on the Democrat Party on the local level, because Greg Abbott was smart and started sending migrants to their cities, and now all of a sudden they have all these illegal immigrants running around. They're going, whoa, this is not cool. All right, it's one thing for us to put a sign up that says no human is illegal. It's another thing for us to actually have to feed these people and house these people. Get out of here with this. This is insane. For example, I'll give you this example. It just came out of Denver. Denver is a sanctuary city. Starting on February 5th, Denver, Colorado will start limiting the number of days illegals can stay in shelters. 40,000 migrants have come to Denver in the past year. So, but again, it's a sanctuary city like Philadelphia. So the sanctuary cities, they are the people that invited you to pop in anytime you wanted to if you were in the neighborhood and you actually took them up on it. And then they really didn't mean it when you show up at their door. They weren't ready for you. They don't like you. They don't want you there. It was just talk. They thought it sounded good to say that. They didn't actually mean it. But what do you do, though, if you've got this problem where you've got the Democrat Party kooks who believe in open borders and the Democrat mayors and governors that played into that game for years? And that's what they did. They played into it. They thought it sounded good, and they never thought it would ever show up on their doorstep. So what was the problem with putting up a hate has no home here sign on our state capitol building? Nothing, because it was never going to affect you. You're in New York. You're in Philadelphia. You're in Denver, Colorado. You're nowhere near the border. The border isn't even something you think about. That's like thinking about the North Pole on any other time of year besides Christmas. You don't do it. So there's no reason to. So sure, what do you want? You want to be a sanctuary city? Yeah, why not? I mean, when Philadelphia was what became a sanctuary city and they survived a court challenge over it, Jim Kenney, the mayor at the time, danced in the hallway with his chief of staff and sang, "We are a sanctuary city, yeah," and then gave her a big high five. Total white man's overbite in a very bad-fitting suit. He was very proud of the fact. But Philadelphia's a long way from the border. So he never had to worry about it. They could say all these things that feel so good, say things that feel good inside, and never have to worry about it actually catching up to them. Greg Abbott is smart and says, well, we're going to make you share the burden here. You're going to share the wealth. You wanted these policies. You told people to come here. Biden said, surge to the border. Come to the border with your asylum claims. Surge. Do it. And then they get here, and then everybody expects them to stay in Texas. And part of the plan, of course, is to ultimately flip Texas blue. But I got news for you. The Hispanic voters in places like Nevada and Texas and California and other places, they don't like this. What, just because it's their people coming across? Is that what we're supposed to believe? So if tomorrow a bunch of Italians started storming the southern border, I'm going to suddenly become open borders? No, of course not. It's silly to think that is what Hispanic voters want. They tend to be a demographic that favors law and order, and there is no law and order right now. It's absolute freaking chaos. So I think Biden is, once again, it's one of those situations where he read the tea leaves completely wrong. To get the primary nomination, where he was losing badly, he had to go far left. And he said, come to the border, surge to the border, and he got in there, he undid all Trump's policies. You know, they called all those policies racist. How dare you do these things? Now that it's actually a crisis that they can no longer pretend is not happening, because every city in America right now is dealing with this, every blue city, and they're turning around and they're saying enough is enough. So the White House can't pretend like it's not actually occurring. That was their strategy for years. Just ignore it. Don't talk about the border. Just don't mention it and leave it alone. And then only people who watch Fox News will hear about it and see about it. And they're not voting for us anyway, so who cares? We'll trust the corporate media to never report on it, and we'll be fine. That was their strategy. And it worked until suddenly these illegal immigrants started showing up on the doorstep of blue cities. And the blue city mayors and council people started going on TV and complaining about it and saying they wanted something to be done about it. What they wanted was for Greg Abbott to stop sending them. But Greg Abbott says, I'm not keeping it. Why should I have to bear the burden of this? Why should Texas have to handle this alone? So then knowing that that was not going to stop it, then these Democrats on the local level had no choice but to turn to the White House and say, yo, what are you doing about this? You have to fix this problem. Only the White House doesn't want to because they thought by being far left on the issue that that was the safe place for them to be. And now it's a disaster. So now Biden is saying, I need emergency authority. I'll shut down the border. I'll shut it down tomorrow if you give me the power. So Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about this. You know, why isn't it racist for Biden to threaten to close the border? How come it's not racist when he does it? Cut number 8.
He didn't say, on day one, I will use enhanced enforcement to improve the processing of people at the border. He said, I will shut the border down, which suggests a total rejection of all people attempting to cross the border without a visa or without proper authorization, which, you know, stands in contravention to decades of international and U.S. law that governs the movement of people around the globe and the refugees and asylum system.
Yeah, no.
So isn't that the same thing that Trump did?
No, I understand your question. What I'm saying to you, the new enforcement tools, right, that we believe that do not currently exist, that will be part of this bipartisan agreement, there are different definitions, right, of what that looks like, of what actually shutting down the border looks like. Right?
There are different definitions of shutting down the border and what that looks like. No, either you shut down the border and it's racist or it's not. I mean, it's not a lot of gray area here. We heard Democrats for years talk about Donald Trump as the most inhumane human being for wanting to secure the border. Even when Trump would make jokes about what he would do to secure the border, they took it, of course, very literally. I'll give you a great example of this. Here's a Democrat congressman named Robert Garcia from California. As he reviews the Trump MAGA plan for the border. Now, keep in mind something. A, Trump never did any of these things when he was president. That's A, all right? So he would go on the campaign trail and he would say these things. He never actually did it. B, it shows you this guy's mindset of what he believes about the border, which is that it should not be closed. Because obviously Trump's using hyperbole here, considering he didn't do any of these things. And if he did, there would probably be major ramifications if he did. But the fact is that this guy takes it seriously, but he also knows it's tongue-in-cheek that Trump's saying it. But it doesn't matter because what he's really saying here in this clip, the translation really is, the border should be open. We shouldn't have anything in place to keep people from crossing the border illegally because they should have a right to come here whenever they want, for as long as they want, period. Cut 21.
I want to remind the public that Donald Trump and House Republicans also have their own ideas for the border. So let's review the majority's border ideas that they've actually presented. Here they are. Donald Trump actually has said that he wants to build alligator moats along the border. That's one of his incredible ideas. Another idea that Donald Trump has promoted is he actually wants to electrify the border fence and maybe even put some spikes on the border. That's another Donald Trump and MAGA majority border idea. Another idea, which I'm not sure how well it would go, is he wants to actually bomb northern Mexico with missiles. That's another Trump idea. And finally, I think one of the ones that I think is the most grotesque is suggestions that instead we should maybe just shoot migrants in the legs as they cross the border. So once again, the Donald Trump and MAGA plan is alligator moats, bombing northern Mexico, shooting migrants in the legs, and electrifying the fence and putting spikes on them. That is the Donald Trump border plan.
My favorite is the alligators. I'm a huge fan of the alligators. I think that would send a message, no doubt about it. Bombing northern Mexico, though, It sounds fun, but honestly, there's so many people that vacation in Cabo, and then you'd have the blowover effect. What do they call that? You know, if you bomb it, there's going to be the shrapnel, and then you know what I mean? That, you know what? It's probably not gonna work. So alligators. I mean, you could shoot migrants, but you know, I mean, we need the bullets, zombie apocalypse, and everything like that. Electrifying the fence could be fun. It doesn't have to be a lot of voltage. It could be low voltage, just so they get up there and it's. I'm not talking about where you get. Remember when we were kids and they had those bug zappers? Maybe they still have them. I don't know. Those were great. We used to watch those babies sizzle on a Friday night when I was a kid. You know, we just sit there. It was entertainment. You just sit there, watch the bug zapper go, do its thing, and just they all run to it. You know, I'm not saying it has to zap them to death, but maybe a little, you know, a little jolt, like, you know, go flying back a little bit. And then the problem with that, though, is it would become a TikTok sensation. All the kids will be trying to do it to see how far they could get on the shock wall. So you got to rule that out. So basically, you're left with the alligators. And just saying, you know, alligators are a very effective deterrent. You got to feed them, though. That's the other problem. Got to feed them. So, but look, Trump had 4 years to do those things, and he never did any of those things. He did, however, put in place a policy of remain in Mexico. He did say there was a national emergency at the border. He did turn around and say that if you are caught, you are not going to just be released into the wild with a court date ticket for 5-6 years in the future where you can just disappear. Those are the things he did do. But I personally wish he would have done the alligators. It's not too late. If he gets a second term, maybe just one giant alligator movie style. One giant killer croc. I'm talking movie style. Take up the whole freaking river. Just one. You don't even need a lot. Just one. Just sit there all day, staring at people, just looking at them, waiting for them to cross, you know? Could be fun to watch, just saying. Put a border cam up there, see if anybody dare. You'd get around him, though, by jumping on his back. That's the problem. So it's always a loophole. It's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
There is a lot of other moronic audio I can play for you, but here on the Dana Show, I do have to also let you know that E. Jean Carroll told Rachel Maddow that she was going to go shopping with Trump's money, and even Rachel Maddow was visibly uncomfortable. I'll get to that for you here on the Dana Show, but first, I got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It scares me. Residents successfully pushed for Vegas gas station to fix pump creek issues. Pump creek. It's a thing. Pump creek is when the gas pump meter keeps going after the pump has stopped discharging gas. This woman and her roommate, they said that they were victims of this. It was caught on camera. In the video, you can see the gas nozzle that the guy was using. It takes it out of the tank. It's not running. Placed against the meter that keeps charging him. Now, how much of that actual gas was used and how much money he was basically donating to the station, they don't really know. But there was a complaint filed with the Nevada Department of Agriculture against the station on January 18th, and they sent an inspector down there, and they said four of these pumps were having pump creep issues, and the machines were placed out of service. I'm sure there was nothing nefarious about that whatsoever. I'm sure that the gas station was just trying to be as honest and forthright as they possibly could in Vegas. We've had the snow, now get ready for the blood rain. Saharan dust plume set to spark more chaos as it hits Britain from tomorrow. The Met Office has warned that blood rain will shock Britain as a Saharan dust plume hits the UK next week. The dust is known as blood rain due to the red stains it leaves on windows and cars. It's set to fall in showers, for tomorrow at least, less than a fortnight after Britain was hit by an Arctic blast followed by severe stormy weather. Obviously, this will all be blamed on climate change, clearly, even though we've had things like this happen in the Saharan Desert for centuries. But that's okay. Blame climate change. Why not? Texas is reportedly slang for crazy in Norway, according to Snopes. Snopes.com as well. Snopes was asked about this. The claim, Norwegians say Texas as a slang meant wild or crazy. The rating is true. A claim about a Norwegian slang has regularly been shared on Texas-oriented social media accounts for nearly a decade. Residents of the Scandinavian nation use the name of the U.S. state as a word for something crazy and lawless. For example, the assertion was shared to the subreddit Texas in September 2023 post, and it's true. Apparently, the word Texas is slang for crazy or wild, as in the end of whatever sport they play in Norway, the game was totally Texas. That night was totally Texas. That woman is totally Texas. Wild. Canada can declare victory. They have now killed more people than any other country in the world with medically assisted deaths. Yes, medically assisted deaths under Canada's MAID program outpace every other country in the world. So there you go, Canada. Your bragging rights there are just amazing. Good job. And lastly, when it comes to questioning whether or not the Super Bowl game is going to be fixed for Taylor Swift or Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce, the other question becomes whether or not their marriage or their relationship is fixed. That's the other theory going around. Maybe the whole Travis Taylor thing is all a fugazi, completely made up. Who knows, right? It's a Dana Show. More to come straight ahead.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Congress needs to get it done.
Starting another war. Still trying to kill the deal.
That was a hot mic moment right there. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. That was a hot mic moment. Joy Reid on MSNBC last night. Biden's getting us into another effing war. And she didn't think her mic was hot because they were showing B-roll of something. And I guess there was audio over it. And she just assumed that that's what you would hear. So there you go. Biden getting us into another effing war. There's another plan by the Biden administration to weaponize the government, and House Republicans are trying to fight back on this. They have filed a resolution disapproving of the Biden administration's totalitarian digital equity rules. House Republicans are introducing a joint resolution disapproving of the Biden administration's new digital discrimination rules package, which they describe as a power grab by the federal government over the internet. The Congressional Review Act resolution of disapproval, which is led by Republican Representatives Andrew Clyde and Buddy Carter of Georgia, co-sponsored by 65 House Republicans, aims to nullify the Federal Communications Commission's new digital equity rules package that went into effect this month as part of President Biden's Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Quote, under the guise of equity, the Biden administration is attempting to radically expand the federal government's control of all internet services and infrastructure. The FCC's so-called digital discrimination rule hands bureaucrats unmitigated regulatory authority that will undoubtedly impede innovation, burden consumers, and generate censorship concerns. Given the Biden administration's long history of weaponizing agencies against the American people, Congress should not let this unconstitutional power grab go unchecked. Now, this rules package, which was ratified by the commission on November 15th and went into effect January 15th, implements a number of different things to prevent digital discrimination of access to broadband services based on income level, race, ethnicity, color, religion, or national origin. These rules will protect civil rights, lower costs, and increase internet access for Americans across the country, said Vice President Kamala Harris in a statement. She would never be able to say that in real life, of course. According to the FCC, the new rules allow it to protect consumers by directly addressing companies' policies and practices if they differently impact consumers' access to broadband internet access service or are intended to do so. And then to apply those protections to ensure communities see equitable broadband deployment, network upgrades, and maintenance. However, critics of the package argue it could have the opposite effect by widening the so-called digital divide, which refers to unequal access to digital technology. Yet again, the Biden administration is attempting to push its ideology through heavy-handed government controls. This time, the Federal Communications Commission plans to enact widespread regulations on every aspect of our internet's functionality. This digital discrimination rule will undoubtedly widen the digital divide by stifling future investment in broadband deployment. Not only is it unconstitutional, but it goes against the very core of free market capitalism. Congress must block this totalitarian overreach. Multiple outside groups have also endorsed this resolution, including Heritage Action for America, Americans for Tax Reform, Tax Protection Alliance, and Americans for Prosperity, among others. We're happy to support this order on digital discrimination. The order represents a massive extension of government power into broadband networks and is a solution in search of a problem, notably embracing a disparate impact standard, which ignores a vast number of economic factors that shape market decisions, will inevitably result in regulators telling companies to alter their policies based on the race of their customers. We encourage all members to support this overturn and hold the FCC accountable for this. Now, these new rules, I mean, again, this is another attempt by the Biden administration to flex its muscle over the private sector, all in the name of equity, all in the name of making sure that people who get benefits get another benefit, this time being free internet. And then you and I, who pay for it, will have to pay more for it. And perhaps maybe my internet is too fast. You know, maybe my speeds are too fast, and that's not equitable because there's not enough to go around for everybody. And what incentive is there for any of these internet provider companies to be racist? What incentive is it for Comcast or Verizon or Spectrum or any of them to be racist? I just have a hard time believing any of these internet provider companies are actually racist. I mean, I don't know, maybe the Klan has their own internet providing service. I don't know, but there is no real problem here, other than this is an opportunity for Democrats to jump in and say, oh, look, we can get more power over the internet this way. And then once they're in that door, well, the door never shuts. I mean, don't forget, right now, the Supreme Court is also weighing a case, Missouri v. Biden, which deals with the fact that the Biden administration was working with big tech to censor Americans' opinions during the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, if you'd go online and you'd say something about the vaccine, the efficacy, side effects, myocarditis, how they're not giving it to kids in Europe, or you'd question the lab leak theory because you wouldn't buy the propaganda that it came from an undercooked bat burger, you would be censored. And the Biden administration wanted that to occur. You remember the time Joe Biden accused Facebook of killing people? Killing people. And this is one of my favorite quotes here from the administration. President Biden believes no parent should have to drive to a McDonald's parking lot so their kid can do their homework online. That's why he worked with Democrats and Republicans alike to pass the bipartisan infrastructure law to ensure every American has access to affordable, reliable, high-speed internet. Should we talk about the cost of McDonald's while that family's sitting in the parking lot using the McDonald's Wi-Fi? Do we talk about how much more expensive that food has gotten under this president? Or do we just ignore that fact? Why don't we just ignore that? Why don't we ignore what the cost of a Happy Meal is now versus what it was 4 years ago, or the cost of a Big Mac or the new double Big Mac, which I'm told is delicious? This is, again, another opportunity for the Democrats to turn around and say, oh, look, we can identify a problem where people don't have the same thing as everybody else. Therefore, there's a lack of equity. Therefore, we can jump in and micromanage where companies invest for the future. So instead of them saying that we need to upgrade our network here or expand our network here, the administration can come in and say, no, you got to do this. You got to do that, and boss around the private sector. And they love doing this. I mean, this is what these people love. They live for this. Oh, they live for telling the private sector what to do, all in the name of equity. Now, in this presidential election, people are going to have to ask themselves, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? It's a standard question that President Reagan asked in 1980. It was a great question to ask. And Gavin Newsom, who wants Biden's job, really, I mean, the governor of California is everywhere these days. Him and his beautiful coiffed hair. He's everywhere. He would love the opportunity to jump in and take over. But in order to do that, he's got to say very nice things about Joe Biden. Very nice things. Because he hopes that they'll pick him. This is kind of like the Golden Bachelor at this point. You know, they know that Biden should not be the candidate. They're trying to figure out who to give the rose to. They know they can't give it to Kamala Harris, but they also know that if they don't, that woke is going to be incredibly upset. You passed over the first African-American, she's not African-American, but black American woman to be vice president so that you could give it to another white dude, which is what the Democrats did in their primary when they obviously nominated Joe Biden over Kamala Harris. But forget all that for a moment. They're very worried about woke, which is the only reason why Biden's still on the ticket in the first place right now. But Gavin Newsom, he wants everybody to know, I mean, Biden's working hard out there, cut 12.
Other important thing kind of looming over this, obviously, a lot of discussion of President Biden's age, which raises the question, if something were to happen to Biden.
Okay. But something would happen to any of us.
Right.
All right.
What happens? Is it Kamala Harris?
Well, we know that. She's the vice president of the United States. Absolutely. By definition. Something happens to me, it's the lieutenant governor of the state of California.
I'm talking about as the candidate. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
So she's Biden, the nominee.
We all spend time with Biden. Spend time with him. It's 3 hours on photo lines, on 3 events a day, then giving speeches. Are you kidding? At 80 years old, to be in that kind of health? I have no issues whatsoever. And by the way, I'm an old-fashioned guy. You know, I think Bobby Kennedy said it best. What the world needs are the qualities of youth, not a time of life, a state of mind, a quality of imagination. That's Joe Biden.
Okay. And you don't want the job, right? I mean, that's really what the question that he was getting at. John Carl was really getting to the point of, wouldn't you love if they called you? Wouldn't they love if they gave you the golden rose, Gavin? And Gavin's like, what? What are you talking about? I don't know. I have no idea what you mean. Biden's great. He's in great shape. Guy's got a 65% disapproval rating, but even more importantly, they are terrified Trump's going to win and then be a lame duck and just go nuts and do whatever he wants, and they're terrified of it. They are really scared of that. And if they think Joe Biden can't beat Trump and Joe Biden cannot beat Trump, because everybody else doesn't see it the way Gavin Newsom sees it. Gavin Newsom doesn't see it that way either, by the way. Gavin Newsom is full of it, but... But hey, since he brought up Bobby Kennedy, what does Bobby Kennedy's son think about what the administration is doing with regards to the border, out of curiosity? Cut number one.
It's astonishing that the Border Patrol is utterly demoralized. You could stop this very quickly. And there doesn't seem to be any interest in the Biden administration doing it.
There is no interest in the administration doing it. None whatsoever. And people see that. That's the other thing, too, is that Biden doesn't seem to be acting like a guy who's actually running for president, does he? I mean, between the fact that he doesn't come out and say anything on Iran, so he's not even pretending to be a wartime president, he's not doing it on the border except acting like he's the victim here and can't do anything because of the Republicans. I mean, we are in a situation right now where Biden has the opportunity, if he wanted to, he could come out and he could address the nation, he could look presidential, he could act like the commander-in-chief, reassure Americans, but the problem for him is he can't communicate. And they know that. Here's John Bolton, who's never let the opportunity for a war drum to be pounded pass. He loves pounding the drums of war, as you know. Here's John Bolton, who does not like the idea that Trump may come back into power, because John Bolton knows there won't be another war if Donald Trump is elected president. And that doesn't make him too happy. Cut 13.
Well, I think there's good news and bad news there. I continue to believe Trump is an aberration. And I think when he disappears from the scene, his influence in the Republican Party will diminish greatly. Since he has no philosophy, there's no coherence to carry on. But what he reflects now is the alienation of a lot of American voters, many of whom are former Democrats. And he's able to play off these emotions extraordinarily successfully.
John, you're upset. You're nervous because the party's not the war hawk party that you once thought it was. Well, there's some voices in there who are certainly like that. Senator Tom Cotton, he's hoping there is a devastating military retaliation against Iran. The only thing I would ask, Senator, is if that happens and this escalates, do you really trust this commander-in-chief? with dealing with that situation? Because I certainly do not. Cut 15.
Bill, you laid out four options for how we could retaliate against Iran. I'd add a fifth, which is all of the above. There has to be devastating military retaliation for the targeting of American troops in Jordan, a friendly nation across international borders, leaving three dead Americans and more than three dozen wounded. And some of those, Bill, are in grave critical condition.
Grave critical condition. Did you say grave danger? Is there another kind? No, of course not. There is not. And Secretary Mike Pompeo says we are already at war with Iran right now. Cut 14.
It's pretty clear that the Biden administration's policies have resulted in a huge conflagration. I hear people talking about whether we're going to end up at war with Iran. I can assure you the Iranians are at war with the United States today. They've now killed American servicemen. These three certainly in these past days.
And yet, this is the guy who is the commander-in-chief right now. It's not a good look for America. No doubt about it. All right, coming up, Rachel Maddow cringes when E. Jean Carroll says, let's go shopping with the money we got from the defamation lawsuit case. A very uncomfortable moment. We'll play it for you straight ahead.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The E. Jean Carroll defamation lawsuit is a travesty. It really is. And the fact that Nikki Haley's out there saying that the jury got it right, it plays right into the Democrats' hands. They're so happy that she's out there saying that. They really are. And it's a joke. I mean, the whole thing was about money. The whole thing was just another way that they can come after Trump. And this never, ever ending, whether it's prosecution on the state level, federal level, civil court, fake civil court like in New York, which is really criminal because of what they want to do to him. But this E. Jean Carroll defamation lawsuit case was a total joke. And to prove that it was a joke and it was all just nothing more than a giant money scam, E. Jean Carroll herself goes on Rachel Maddow's show last night. And you can see Maddow is visibly uncomfortable with this as she says the following. This is E. Jean Carroll, cut number 11.
I had such great ideas for all the good I'm going to do with this money. First thing, Rachel, you and I are going to go shopping. We're going to get completely new wardrobes, new shoes, motorcycle for Crowley, new fishing rod for Robbie. Rachel, what do you want? Penthouse? It's yours, Rachel.
It's yours. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. It is very awkward as you watch the video and you can see the body language going on about, would you stop? You're supposed to be the victim here. You're supposed to act like, you know, pretend you're a victim, please. Don't come out here and act like this is all just about you getting money because that's literally what you did and this is all just a scam. So please at least pretend like this is about justice in some way, shape, or form. Oh, really uncomfortable to watch. Well, I guess we're going to have to watch, speaking of uncomfortable, what happens with Alejandro Mayorkas because he's lashed out as the impeachment articles are finalized against him for allowing the invasion at the southern border to occur. They said that he's failed to follow the law. He's failed to do his job. So, of course, now he's lashing out and saying, I assure you, your false accusations do not rattle me and do not divert me from the law enforcement and broader public service mission to which I have devoted most of my career and to which I remain devoted. What law enforcement do? You're not doing it. That's the problem. If you were doing the job, they wouldn't be impeaching you right now. But of course, now they say the articles lay out a clear, compelling, and irrefutable case for Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas's impeachment. He has willfully and systemically refused to comply with immigration laws enacted by Congress. He has breached the public trust by knowingly making false statements to Congress and the American people and obstructing congressional oversight of his department. These facts are beyond dispute. And the results of his lawless behavior have been disastrous for our country. Congress has a duty to see that the executive branch implements and enforces the laws we have passed. Yet Secretary Mayorkas has repeatedly refused to do so. His lawless behavior was exactly what the framers gave us the impeachment powers to remedy. It is time we take this affront to a co-equal branch of government. Thank you so much for listening to The Dana Show. I appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I'm now going to go do my afternoon show in Philly on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.